You're listening to the Groundswell Sermon Podcast, a brand new church in the Halton region, Ontario, Canada.
I suppose I should adjust this before the service, shouldn't I? Is that the right one? Technician, roadie, help? Yep. Just lean it back. Thank you. Just in case I, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Can I ask you a question? What do you think about church signs? The ones with slogans on them. Are you, do you like them?
Some of them are very good.
Yeah, don't put it up there yet. I personally have never been fond of them. Those of you who were here, who were part of my church when I was pastoring in the city, would probably remember that I was never quite too fond of church slogans. Because I always wonder what people who are driving by think, actually, when I've been in cars with people who are driving by and they see a corny church slogan, they just groan and I kind of hide, because then they remember that I am or was a pastor or whatever, and then they think they're offending me or whatever. But there's at least one shirt sign that my wife saw in a trip to PEI that she sent me back that I think they should have known what wasn't helpful. Can you read what it says there? It says, "Do you know what hell is? Come hear our preacher." My wife was driving by that sign in Prince Edward Island, and she saw that. She said, I got to stop and take a picture and send this back to Brian, because this is just going to further him in not really liking church signs. So anyway, I just thought I'd lead off with something there. So I'm so thankful that there's no official Groundswell sign out the front with a corny saying. I don't think he would do it, but there you go. All right, I promised last week we'd be returning to a series that I began then, and this series is Making God's Presence Known. And as I said last week, it's inspired by David Fitch's excellent book, Faithful Presence, Seven Disciplines That Shape the Church for Mission. And as I said last week, I highly recommend reading that if you want to dig deeper. We're over the four messages I'm doing, which are really preparatory messages. I'm not just pulling all, you know, I'm not just walking through his book. I'm just kind of setting the stage for, if you do want to read it, here's some preparatory material to help you kind of get into it. And especially when he gets into the seven disciplines. And as I pray, you know, as I'm part of your prayer group on a Sunday morning and hearing, you know, each one of you who prays, that your heart and your burden is to reach out, not only in this Tansley Woods facility, but to this community and even this city. It just strikes me that, the things he's talking about here would only continue to help you to sort through that as well. So, and I think Brian and Peggy looked at this when they were part, was it Milton, the church in Milton? So, and again, I think any church would be benefited by that. So,
I have a couple of copies of the book if anybody wants to borrow one.
There you go. There, for a small price, I'm sure, for a small fee, no, that's great. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, again, because again, it's one of those books that you don't have to read it cover to cover. You simply need to read what you need to read, you know, what would be helpful to you. Before I get into part two this morning, I do want to just give a quick reminder about where we were last week, partly because some of you might not have been here and couldn't listen to it online or whatever. Or you may have just said, "Oh, where were we last week? Where were we?" I want to kind of get reminded. So I just want to remind you from last week that we began by looking at the three foundational ways that God's presence is understood. And again, these aren't things that Fitch, he just takes those things for granted and builds on it beyond there, which is good. But for our purposes, Some may not even be part of the Christian family and say, I don't know anything about God, and where do you begin with stuff like this? So just kind of went through three foundational areas: God's omnipresence, God's manifest presence, and God's continuous presence. Let's just a reminder of each one of those three. First, God's omnipresence, and if we just flip the next slide on there, that the definition we saw last week, that Almighty God doesn't have size or spatial dimensions. He's present at every point of space with his whole being. That alone is way beyond my feeble brain to comprehend. God is entirely present everywhere. It isn't that part of him is here and part of him is there, and you know, he couldn't sing that song, I left my heart in San Francisco, because he wouldn't leave his heart in San Francisco. It would be in Tulsa and Miami Beach. Everywhere God is, he's fully God. That's amazing. So he's present everywhere at once. And again, that's just tremendous. That speaks of his infinite nature. Sometimes we use the term transcendent. God is transcendent. He is beyond figuring out and understanding as well. No boundaries, he's infinite. The second thing we saw, though, is that God has a manifest presence, meaning that Almighty God can make his presence known through various means. And we looked at some of those means. And he does that for his purposes and for his glory. When we looked at some of those examples, and we'll look at examples this morning, we'll see that he has a reason for the way he does it, the way he expresses himself, and what he is trying to do in presenting himself and making his presence known to people. And the third thing we saw was God's continuous presence, and we saw that in three ways. First of all, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God into human form, and in his resurrection, where one day we will see him face to face, body to body, our bodies will be changed to be like his spiritual body. In the meantime, through his Holy Spirit from the day of Pentecost, and we celebrated that day last Sunday, from that day of Pentecost onward, the Holy Spirit is with us. And we need to understand what that means over the next several weeks, because he's with us, again, for God's purposes and God's glory. So understanding that is so important. And that leads us to God's presence through his people, the church, that as the Spirit indwells and fills God's children, and as you interact together, and I mentioned that to a couple of you last week, that God's presence is felt here because of the way you act and treat one another. And that's great. That's wonderful. Please continue. That's wonderful as well. So again, if you weren't with us last Sunday, and if you wanted go back to that, please. I believe it's posted online, and so you can listen to it online as well. And there is a sermon sheet that goes with it. I know that it's been handed out this morning, but I always try to provide a sermon sheet when I'm speaking. Just so again, if you want to take notes, not everybody does, but if you do, that's a handy reference. So this morning I want to look more specifically. So what I'm trying to do is get sharper in focus every week. So I want to get more specific about God's promises to be present. And I want to do this first of all simply by looking mostly in the Old Testament, how God promised his presence at certain times to Israel, and then ultimately through Jesus Christ, how his presence came to be with us. That point in the message this morning, I want to step back for 5 minutes and have a community time in the middle of the message. Oh, that's confusing. There you go. But I would like to do that and just ask you to group together in twos or threes at that point, preferably not with your spouse or partner or best buddy, because a lot of times you already know what you're going to say or whatever, but you know, somebody else. But if that would be inconvenient or uncomfortable, then whoever you want to group together with, that's fine. The important thing is we take 5 minutes and think about why we doubt God's presence. Because I'll be honest, I've doubted God's presence, you know, over 40 years as a Christian, there's times I've doubted God's presence. And dark times. And I've counseled as a pastor and as a friend. I've counseled people who are doubting God's presence and who didn't want pat answers from me and glib statements and easy things. They wanted to dig a little deeper, and that's good. So I know 5 minutes isn't a long time to write a PhD thesis on it, but it is enough time to just kind of get your brain in gear. And I'm not going to load you down with answers. I'm just wanting to hear from you folks, you know, just off the top of your head, what are some reasons we might doubt God's presence? So we'll do that for about 5 minutes, and then we'll pull back in and we'll finish with, okay, if we're trusting in God's presence today, if he's promising his presence to us today, how are we supposed to experience that? Where do you experience it? What would be the evidence of experiencing it? And I think that's a valid question. So especially for us when we're doubting, there's some place we can go back and say, okay, God, we need some evidence. Here's some opportunity. So that makes sense? Okay. All right, let's start with God's promised presence with his people. I just want to give you 4 examples of how God promised to be with his people. And I'm not going to go into detail. I just want you to see basically that this is very characteristic of the Lord to promise his presence. God isn't somebody who hides and wants to hide himself away. He wants to make his presence known, and he promises his presence. So let's see where that happens. The first example I want to see is his promise to Moses and the Israelites. And for that, you would, if you were following up, look to Exodus 33 and 34. And if you feel like opening your Bible to these passages, that's fine, because I'll at least address that quickly. But otherwise, as I said, on the sermon sheet, I've listed where they are. I just haven't printed them all in full this time. All right, so in that encounter, here you have Moses talking with Yahweh, who, you know, Moses doesn't fully understand that Yahweh is the God of the universe. He knows at least he's the God of Israel, but Moses doesn't have a complete understanding of God anyway. But they've run into a snag because the people of Israel are practicing idolatry, and you know, Moses went down with the tablets. If you've seen Charlton Heston with full beard and the Ten Commandments, you know, he's carrying the tablets down and he sees them partying, and what does he do? He throws the tablets down and then goes back to talk with God. And in that scene, the Lord says to Moses, my presence will go with you and give you rest. You might miss something if we're reading it in English. The problem with the English language, my native tongue, is that it doesn't make singular and plural very clear. You ever know that? That's why Southerners say y'all. They say y'all so people know they're talking to more than one person. So, but, you know, if you're studying it in Greek or in Hebrew or even in French, Italian, you know, all these other languages, it's a little more clear that you've got singular, plural. What God says to Moses, if you go, I'll go with you. And Moses had that opportunity to go, whoa, man, that's cool. They won't be the Israelites anymore. They'll be the Mosesites. But what does Moses do? Moses said to him, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And Yahweh said to Moses, I'll do the very thing you've asked, because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. So again, Yahweh initially promised just to go with Moses, but Moses intercedes. There's a great example of intercession. He stands between God and God's people, and he says, I'm speaking on their behalf. Go with us. Lead us into this transition. This is a great transitional passage for somebody who was a transitional pastor for several years. I always brought the churches I was transitioning into this and said, what a great example of a transitional leader Moses was. So here we go. We're asking God to lead this transition. That's the first example. I'll speak more about that in the weeks to come of how God leads us in the transitions, and which I need to continue to learn in my life. But the second example after Moses is Joshua. God leading Joshua and the Israelites into the promised land. So God promised Moses, but then Moses passes on that promise to his understudy Joshua, who's taking over. So Moses, speaking to the people, says, be strong and courageous. This is in Deuteronomy 31. So the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomos. Deutero is second, nomos is law. It's the second giving of the law. The first giving of the law came at Sinai. 40 years later, the law is repeated for the next generation who are about to enter the promised land. And so in the midst of that, toward the end of that, Moses stands up in front of the people and says, be strong and courageous, don't be afraid, don't be terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you, all of you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, you be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that Yahweh swore to our ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as an inheritance. And then he says this, and this is going to be important later on, so don't miss this. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. That's such an important thing that we're going to come back to. God promises to be with them. In fact, to go in front of them to take them into the promised land. And so the handoff in leadership from Moses to Joshua, this transitional moment, is so important. And that's why Moses says, that's why when they get in there, God speaks directly to Joshua in Joshua 1:9, and God says, have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong and courageous? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Those are important words. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For Yahweh your God will be with you wherever you go. Wow. Like, promise. The third example, years and years and years later, David and Solomon. King David and then his son, who became King Solomon. In 1 Kings 8 and 9, God promises that there will be a temple in Jerusalem. And King David wants to build that. King David probably thinking toward the end of his life, wow, what would be the greatest legacy I could have? What in years to come would people look back and say, well, David had his ups and downs. He did some good and some bad and this and that. But man, he built a great temple. What a fantastic temple David built. Wow, whatever good and bad he did, at least he built that. And so David wanted to build the temple. And the temple, of course, is the place of the manifest presence of God. That's where God says, I will meet with you as a nation. That's where the high priest can enter into the Holy of Holies. But interestingly enough, God says to David, No, you are not the one to build this temple. There's been too much bloodshed in your reign. I want you to pass this on to your son Solomon. And I'm sure that hurt David. I think it would hurt me. It would. It would hurt me. Because of my pride. Because that's the kind of person I unfortunately am. Realizing where my pride and wanting to, for those of you who knew that I like big churches and one part of my life wanted to pastor a big one. So you see, I get David, I get him. I get David too well sometimes, I'll tell you that much. Solomon builds the temple. And at the dedication of the temple, look at what happens. The priests withdrew from the holy place, and the cloud of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests couldn't even do their ministry because the cloud, it was just so dense. You know, if you've kind of, last week I drove across the, after I left here, I drove across the Burlington Skyway. It's just like this. Looks like this. You go over the skyway, I can't see a blessed thing. I can't see anything over the skyway. And some of you are saying, well, that's good. Because if you looked at Burlington Bay, you're thinking, okay, better to have the cloud. Okay, that's okay. And then I get back home and it's sunny. So it just reminds me, in that dense fog of a cloud, that's what they had. They had this dense fog of a cloud. But that's the glory of the Lord, it says, filling the temple. And Solomon stands up and says, Yahweh has said he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever. My father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel. But Yahweh said to my father David, you did well to have it in your heart to build a temple for my name. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build that temple, but your son, your own flesh and blood, he is the one who will build the temple for my name. And so Solomon says, Yahweh has kept the promise he made. There. Solomon knows Yahweh as a promise-making and keeping God. I have now succeeded David, my father, and I sit on the throne of Israel just as Yahweh promised. And I have built the temple for the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel. I have provided a place for the ark, which is the place of the keeping of the covenant of the Lord. So Solomon, in the rejoicing of this, is giving God the glory, saying, you have kept your promises. You are faithful. You are a faithful God. But there's one problem. The nation of Israel isn't going to be faithful. And by the time we get to the major prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel and all of that, we see the glory of God. It's written about in the book of Ezekiel. The glory of God leaves the temple. God says, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Goodbye. Why? Because the temple is full of idolatry. The people have imported all the gods of the other nations all around, and they've just said Yahweh's one of them, but he's not the real one, the only one. Now the question needs to come up, does that mean that God has withdrawn his promise to be with his people? No. He changed it. And I think the songs that we sang this morning kind of led into that. I love the song choice. You see, God chose not another temple, but to come in person. And so the Apostle John writes this, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the mind of God. And the Word was with God, and in fact, the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Again, here's where language breaks down. We read in English, he dwelled among us. But in the original language in Greek, it means he tabernacled among us. He tabernacled. He's the new tabernacle. God said, I'm going to come and be among you. And so on the night before the crucifixion, Jesus is trying to clarify things for his disciples. And he says to them, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Philip, again, I relate to these guys. Philip says, hey, Jesus, show us the Father. If you would just show us the Father, we would believe you. And Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise of his presence. And now we await that promise of his return. And oh, that it would happen soon, his return. Those are four examples, four of many examples. If we just walked all through the Old Testament, we'd see example after example after example, which is that reminder to read your Old Testament, just not just your New Testament. Now, as I promised, I'm going to break you up for 5 minutes, and that's all I'm giving you. Tick, tick, tick. We need a little egg timer. But would you just turn to someone around you, and let's see the question. What's the question that we're going to look at? Do we have that? Flip the... It's there somewhere. Oh, why do we doubt God's presence today? Why do we doubt God's presence today? Just either turn to somebody or stand up and walk to somebody, whatever. 5 minutes. Why do we doubt God's presence today? Go. And it can be 2, 3, or 4, whatever's good for you.
Thank you for listening to the Groundswell podcast. For more info or to support Groundswell, check out www.thegroundswellchurch.com. Grace and peace.